Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Dr. Meg Meeker, and today we're going to listen to a classic program featuring our former co-host, Luann Crane. So here now is this classic edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Well, Luann and Ryan, as you know, we had a very interesting guest on Family Talk last time. His name is Ray Comfort, and he has so much to share with us. Ray is Jewish, and he found a personal relationship with Jesus Christ back in 1972, and since then, he's been working to spread the gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ, to as many people as possible. He has written more than 70 books, one of which is called Hitler, God, and the Bible, and we talked quite a bit about that last time, and we're going to do it again today. Ray, thank you for being with us again today. I really enjoyed our conversation last time, but we were really just getting acquainted with you. And I want to pick up right where I promised on the last program with the connection between abortion and the massacre of 6 million people that Adolf Hitler was responsible for. Other than the fact that people died in both instances, what links them together? And why did you do a movie called 180 to show that linkage?
As I mentioned on the other program, we went out in the streets. I took a camera, came back, was 14 people who didn't know who Hitler was, mainly college students, and I was horrified. So I decided I'd go back and I'd put these students into a moral dilemma. I'd read when I was researching for the book Hitler, God, and the Bible, a horrific incident where where 300 Jews were shot in a pit, and the Nazis came in with bulldozers and buried them while some of them were still alive. That horrified me. So I went to these students and I said, okay, would you, at the point of a Nazi gun, get into a bulldozer and bury Jews alive? And most of them said, no, I can never do that. I said, why is that? Is it because you value human life? And they said, yeah, I value human life. And say, how do you feel about abortion? That says a woman's right to choose. So I'd say, do you think it's a baby in the womb? And they'd say, yes. I'd say, well, finish this question. I asked them one question that, to my surprise, made them do a complete about face, a 180 when it came to the issue of abortion. So we sat in the studio and we looked at these eight people on camera who were changing their minds from being adamantly pro-abortion to being pro-life in a matter of seconds because they were asked one question. And we realized we didn't have a video called Hitler's Religion, which is what we're aiming at. We had a pro-life video. So we changed the name to 180, put it on a website called 180movie.com. And to date, just over 8 months later, it's had 3.2 million views. And the exciting thing is people who are watching it are changing their minds about abortion. That's We've received a massive emails of people who have said, I'm no longer voting pro-abortion. I'm voting pro-life. I've changed my mind because of watching 180. And we've even had women bring their babies to our ministry that were saved through 180. They were pregnant, planning an abortion, watched 180, burst into tears, changed their minds, had the baby and brought it to the ministry. And what actually happens is on 180 is it's unique. Other pro-life films before ours have been wonderful, done a wonderful job, but 180 is unique in that it taps into the law of God, which is written on the heart of every human being. The Bible says God has written the work of the law on our hearts so our conscience bears witness. Every human being that's sane knows it's wrong to lie, to steal, to commit adultery, and to kill. So if you can get someone to acknowledge that it's an actual life, a baby in the womb, when you say to them, okay, it's okay to kill a baby in the womb, when, if the conscience does its duty, they cannot justify the killing of a baby in the womb, but you must learn to stir the conscience. And that's what happens in 180. The conscience does its job. It's like a judge on the courtroom of the mind. It's an independent judge. Conscience is so powerful it drives men to drink. It's driven many to even suicide. And that's what we need to tap in on this horror of abortion and when it comes to sharing the gospel with people. And that's what 180 does for us.
Can people see it now? If so, how?
Yes, they can. They can watch it at 180movie.com, or they can go to our website, livingwaters.com, and click on that.
Well, Lynn, we actually have a clip from that movie. Describe it.
Well, this is what you just described, Ray, talking to these individuals, and you actually hear them actually changing their mind as you just present these very simple questions to them. This is just a few minutes. Let's hear that now.
It's 1943. A German officer has pointed a machine gun at you and told you to get in a bulldozer and drive it forward. You look in front of you, there's a big pit. Hundreds of Jewish families have been shot, and they're in the pits. Many of them are dead, but some of them are still alive. He's telling you to bury them alive. You know that if you say no, he's just going to say, okay, and shoot you with his machine gun.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, and someone else is going to do it. He's going to do it. Would you do what he says?
I don't know.
Wow, I think that's a powerful question.
If you do what he says, he's going to let you live. Would you drive the bulldozer forward?
No.
No.
Why not? They're going to die anyway.
Because I'd rather die not doing that, knowing that I was a cause.
What about you? Would you drive it forward?
No, I'd take the shot.
Would you do what he says?
Absolutely not. He may as well shoot me.
What can one person do if just that one person got out of the bulldozer? You know what I mean? Like, then their life is gone too. It's that everyone needed to rise up against him, you know? And I think that's what a lot of people, where was the world, you know? Where was everybody, you know?
Maybe everybody is made up of individuals that would say, I could never bury human beings alive. I'd rather die than do that. You value life?
Of course.
So you wouldn't take human life? You value human life?
Yeah.
How do you feel about abortion?
It all depends. That's a tricky subject.
Sounds like you value human life.
I do value human life.
Leisha, how do you feel about abortion?
I feel that it's a woman's right to choose, and every situation is a different situation.
You know, that's a tricky situation. I am pro-life. But, you know, until you're, it's really easy from the outside to say, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. But until you're actually in that situation, there's no saying what you will do. I mean, it's really.
If you're pro-life, you believe it's a baby in the womb?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, finish the sentence for me, okay? It's okay to kill a baby in the womb when?
I don't know.
When does it become a life?
That's a tough one.
Well, here's a question. If you're in doubt, okay, I'm a construction worker and I see a building and I say to you, I'm just going to blow up that building in a minute. There's a possibility there's somebody in there, I just don't know, but I'm going to blow it up anyway. What would you say to me? I'm not sure if there's life in that building or not, but I'm going to blow it up anyway. What justifies the killing of a baby in a womb?
If you can't support it when it comes out.
I think it's better to have a plan. I think it's, you know, if you're going to do something like that, you should definitely give it much, much more thought. It's not something you should, you know, just lightly say, oh, well, let's just go do it, you know?
Can you say that's like saying, look, before you bury those Jews alive, just give us some thought and then bury them alive? You see the...
Yeah, I see where you're going with this. I guess you could say it's kind of the same thing.
I wouldn't want other people to judge me, so I wouldn't want to do that to other people. So whatever their decision is, you know, it's between them and God.
It's their baby.
Whose baby?
The mother.
And she's got the right to kill it.
If she feels she can't take care of it, or she
So that's criteria. I can't take care of this, it's gonna interfere with my life, I'll kill it.
Yes.
Wow.
There's no way that you're going to change my opinion on this, because I believe it is a woman's choice. I personally would not do it, but I believe it should be a choice.
You know, there's all sorts of medical problems, there's all sorts of birth defects, whatever. So you know that their quality of life is going to be pretty much restrained into a 9x9 hospital room.
So you're saying...
Do you really think that it's fair to kind of live that? You mean, what type of quality of life is that?
The Nazis are in front of you. They're going to kill kids with Down syndrome. They're going to kill them all. They did this.
Uh-huh.
You think that's okay then?
No, absolutely not.
They've got a bad quality of life.
Definitely not. And who's to say that they have a bad quality of life?
Do you think it's okay to kill kids in the womb?
I don't think it's okay. I just don't think that...
But isn't that like what Nazi Germany was about? It's like saying, what Hitler did was wrong. I think it's his choice. I don't think it's okay, but he did it, and it was his choice to do so, and he had the sanction of the German people because they voted him in, so it's okay, but even though it... You know, I don't agree with that. Can you say it's a similar thing?
I guess when you put it like that, it is very similar, yeah. It's very similar to say that, I guess me saying that it's okay for someone to choose is the same thing as saying it's okay for Hitler to choose.
So you're going to change your stance on it?
Yeah, it's definitely making me think, yeah.
And just as you felt strongly about the life of Jews, and we need to rise up as one person to speak against it, don't you think we need to do that when it comes to the issue of abortion?
I think you have a valid point there.
So
I never paralleled those two.
The Holocaust and abortion.
Yeah.
So you're changing your mind about abortion?
Yeah, when you put it that way, it does change your mind.
It's okay to kill a baby in the womb when?
In my heart, I would say never.
So have you just changed your mind about abortion?
Yes, I have.
Do you think it's a baby in the womb?
Yes.
So what justification is there for killing a baby in the womb? Can you think of one?
For killing a baby in the womb. I think everyone's situation is...
Well, give me a situation where you could say, yep, that's justifiable. You can kill that baby because of...
You know what? I can't think of one.
Ray, that is powerful stuff. Mm-hmm. It speaks of the contradictions that people are willing to live with because they've never stopped to think about it. And you ask a few simple questions and they can see that those things are not compatible. And you lead them right straight to a different understanding because they've been propagandized by the left.
You took the words out of my mouth. Mm. What Hitler did is he propagandized through Goebbels the German people right throughout the 30s, and he vilified the Jews and dehumanized them, said they're not human. And we've seen the same thing happen with this whole generation. They've only been given the side, it's a woman's choice, it's a woman's choice. You're actually a primate. You're not made in the image of God. And you ask the average young person, do you think you're an ape? And they say, yes, we're Darwin. Evolution. And when they're given the information, this extra knowledge, it helps them see things from another perspective. Knowledge is incredibly powerful. You know, if you're going to have a drink of nice, cool, clear water and someone gives you the knowledge that there's just a drop of arsenic in it, you'll do a 180 about that water just with the extra knowledge. Mm-hmm. And so when we've got the right knowledge, it helps people see things from this other perspective. You know, one thing I find frustrating is people say, boy, you're very gifted. I'm not gifted. I've just studied this. And if we care enough as human beings, we can study it and we can do these same things. All you have to do is learn a few principles and understand that you can address the conscience, the place of the knowledge of right and wrong, and you can do it not only in the issue of abortion, but with the gospel itself, so the gospel makes sense to people who have normally rejected it.
You know, Dad, one thing I want to point out that you never hear anger from Ray in the film. He's not mad. He's not yelling at people. He's not making fun of them or putting them down. There's no condescension in his voice. He truly does care about people. You always hear that in his voice. That's why he's there.
Yeah.
And it does translate. You know, I see people get angry and they yell and they want to debate and they want to force it. And Ray is letting these people make the decision for themselves. He never forces their answer. He just asks them questions and allows them to make that decision for themselves.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is really kind of your modus operandi, isn't it? It's not to intimidate or insult. You're just asking to think.
Yeah,
about this.
Absolutely. And it's every Christian has the same access that I have to the love of God. Servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, patient and meek in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. So any Christian can do this, or anyone that's deeply concerned about not only the fate of a child in the womb, but the fate of the person who's perpetrating this crime against God and violating that commandment which says you shall not kill. That's a horrific thing to have to face God on Judgment Day. So we should be concerned for the mother and the father of the child as well as the child, and that's where we bring them the gospel.
What disturbs me, Ray, is that people not only don't have a knowledge of history, but they have very little moral understanding in this day and age. Where are the pastors that have stood in the pulpit and said to them, now think about what this represents. Think about what is going on here. Is this really a woman's right to choose? Let's put it in another way. Here's a question I'd like you to ask those people that are out there. If it's a woman's right to choose, then there is not a need for an explanation. It is a choice. It's pro-choice. It's the choice to kill. Because there are circumstances that you referred to in your film where people were saying the quality of life is not sufficient to support life, and you can kill those babies. Well, what if they're 5 years old?
Yeah.
What if they're 10 years old and have a poor quality of life? Is that a woman's right to choose? Is that something that you should be able to just do with impunity?
Yeah, I think you put your finger on it, and you put your finger on the problem. Many of the men that are in our pulpits nowadays should have been plumbers or butchers or anything but preachers. They couldn't be called the sons of thunder. They don't proclaim sin, righteousness, and judgment. They're more like motivational speakers that are gathering a huge social club filled with people that are supposed to be radically different from the world, but they're not. The church has become just like the world.
Let's talk out of the other side of our mouth, because it really ought to be done. There are a lot of pastors out there that are doing what we're talking about. And somebody is having an effect on this generation, because more and more people in their 30s and even 20s are rejecting the idea of abortion, not because of morality, but because they can look at it and see, hey, this isn't right. Mm-hmm. I saw my mother, my parents stand for the killing of babies. I can't do that. Mm-hmm. And the statistics show that we're winning this battle. And some of that influence must be coming from the church.
I'd like to see the church of the 21st century like the church of the Book of Acts. Just totally uncompromising when it comes to the era of killing babies in the womb. I love pastors. I've spoken in over 1,000 pulpits, but when I watch some Christian television, I'm horrified that you do not hear the cross exalted. You never hear repentance mentioned. Hell is used more by the ungodly than it is in the pulpits. It's spoken more of in profanity than in truth. And so I'd love to see the churches go back to the Ten Commandments and put the fear of God back within the church, because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, it's the beginning of wisdom, and so that we're not a nation who's lost the fear of God before our eyes, where we can commit adultery, we can lie and steal and blaspheme and kill children in the womb and still have a belief in God. Mm. It's we've lost the fear of God. And so pastors reproduce of their own kind. If a pastor lacks in this area, so will his congregation. And I think when the church comes back to being salt and light, we can see this nation turn around. As you're seeing, we're seeing it start to turn around. But I'd like to see it more.
Huh.
You know, when
faster,
salt,
yes.
When salt has lost its savor, Jesus said it's good for nothing and trampled under foot of men. And the government despises the church. It's not got the authority that it should have. They should be coming to the church for moral direction. We as a nation treat the Constitution like the Word of God, and we treat the Word of God like the Word of man.
Hmm.
And that's exactly what the Pharisees did at the time of Christ. They exalted the traditions of men and debased the Word of God to a point where it was of no effect.
And yet, Ray, I would take that one step further, because we're speaking to moms and dads also who can be teaching this in their home.
Mm-hmm.
And what you've just given all of us listening is an opportunity to sit down and train these, as Deuteronomy says, Doctor, when you're walking by the wayside, when you get up and when you sit down, when you lie down, to just teach these truths there. Doctor, I kind of wanted to ask you, I've seen this 180 film. It's rather graphic. It's a little hard to digest. At what age?
Those are understatements.
Very much.
I mean, they're very disturbing is what they are.
Which is possibly why so many parents want to avoid it. But at what age could a child understand the horrors of abortion? Really, when do you introduce this concept?
Well, I can give an answer to that, but Ray, have you answered that question?
Yes. According to the Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C., they say 11 years old is the appropriate age to teach children about the Jewish Holocaust.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's important to teach these kids about history so we can avoid it in future, to tell them about the horrors of abortion so that before they can make their minds up before someone brainwashes them and uses language and information to send them in a wrong direction.
You know, Dad, there's an abortion clinic very near our office.
Yes.
It's in between here and your home.
That's right.
And when driving there, there are often people out front with signs that say pray to end abortion. They've got signs with babies. And Lincoln asks me, he's my 5-year-old son, who they are and why they're there. And I say, Lincoln, those people love babies. And at 5, I don't feel comfortable telling him that the building they're in front of kills babies every day, because he doesn't understand that. He looks at those people and he says, well, they love babies. And he thinks in his head, everybody loves babies. It doesn't make sense to him. And I just think, how sad is it that at some point I'm going to have to tell him what happens in that building?
Hmm. Yeah, you know, Ryan, I have addressed that in my books, and I think you raise a very good point. What's the principle as a parent that you follow in what you tell them? Well, the answer is you give them the information that's needed for their age and at that stage of their development.
Right.
But you've laid the foundation by saying these people support and love babies. And in a few years, it will be possible to take that next step.
Sure.
I do that on sex education. Mm-hmm. You don't tell a 5-year-old about the great pleasures of sex. He doesn't need to know that yet. But he needs to know that that baby in mommy's tummy is a child.
Yeah.
And that that child is going to come into our lives and be loved by us. That's what he or she needs to know at 5 years of age. Mm-hmm. But you gradually give more information as they go along. You know, a 6-month-old does not need to know how to tie his or her shoes. And you could spend all your time trying to make them do that, and you will not be successful. Mm-hmm. But there will come a time when you give them that additional information.
Sure.
I think that guides parental teaching, especially on something as disturbing as this. I mean, there are things in your film, 180, Ray, that are disturbing to me. We don't have to wallow in it because it would be emotionally destabilizing.
Yes, we were very careful not to put anything too horrific like you were mentioning into 180. We kept it just as plain as we could to show it very quickly the horrors that took place. But just talking about what we were talking about a moment ago, I'm sure many good Germans lost their lives in World War II just because they stood up and said, what's that smoke coming from that chimney? Just asking a question like that.
Not enough, unfortunately.
Yeah, and no doubt they lost their lives because they spoke up. Well, we don't need to pay such a price because we have with this amazing thing called the internet, which is so often used for evil, we can use it for good with the realizing that our fingertips, we're the world at our fingertips. We can move a mountain with our mouse by merely taking that website, 180movie.com, and sending it viral to our friends and family. If enough people do that, lives can be changed and minds can be changed. So we're asking Christians everywhere just to take their address, 180movie.com, send it to friends and say, would you send it on? Because we can reach literally billions through the internet free of charge because it's free to send it and free to watch it.
Well, Ray, I appreciate so much you being here, but I even more appreciate what you're trying to do to bring people to a knowledge of Jesus Christ and to call evil by its name. Mm-hmm. That's really what you're trying to do. Abortion is not the only evil that's out there. There are many others. And many times Christian people don't want to talk about them because it's politically incorrect to go there. It's protected by this wall of political correctness. You go right to the heart of it with courage and with confidence, and I appreciate it. I'm going to give you the last 30 seconds to say anything you want. Give us your address. Give us your website. Anything you want to tell our listeners.
Oh, that's so kind of you. I'd like to encourage Christians and others who are pro-life to grab 180movie.com and send it throughout the internet, and also to visit livingwaters.com, where we have free videos to that people can watch online to equip themselves on how to share the gospel biblically and reasonably. There's one little clip there of the Duggar family, 19 kids, they're kind of pro-life, talking about our gospel tracts. And gospel tracts are a great way to share the gospel, and it's a good introduction to our ministry. So livingwaters.com and that video clip of the Duggar family talking about our gospel tracts.
You're a good man, Ray.
Thank you so much.
And Ray, you've mentioned a lot of websites. We will definitely link to them as well from drjamesdobson.org. Ryan, we really want listeners to see this film.
Well, and definitely share it with others. But again, you can find the film 180 or Ray Comfort's book, Hitler, God, and the Bible, all at drjamesdobson.org.
And Ryan, it occurs to me that we really would be remiss if we didn't acknowledge at this point that there is possibly a woman listening right now who may have been pulled into this conversation because she's pregnant and does not know where to turn. If that is you, please know there are so many other options for you besides abortion.
And we are waiting to help you with that. You can connect with us online or you can call us 24 hours a day. We can help you find a local pregnancy resource center. You can call us. Our number is 877-732-6825. Or you can also find a link to that information again at drjamesdobson.org.
Or perhaps you or someone you love has already had an abortion. That grief and guilt you're feeling is very real, but know that you can find hope and forgiveness in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We would love to help introduce you to him, even connect you with a Christian counselor in your area. Again, as Ryan said, reach out to us by calling 877-732-6825. Or one last time, that website, drjamesdobson.org.
Thanks for tuning in today, and please be sure to return next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.